I'm In with the ARCC is brought to you by StoredTech, your technology, our passion. And now, here's your host for I'm In with the ARCC, Amanda Blanton.
And welcome to I'm In with the ARCC. Thanks for joining us today. I'm your host, Amanda Blanton, Marketing Director with the Adirondack Regional Chamber of Commerce. And for the first half of today's show, we will be joined by Deborah Verney, an attorney who is joining us from Herzog Law Firm. Hi, Deborah. How are you today?
Great. How are you doing?
Doing great. I really appreciate you joining us remotely. I know you guys have gotten pretty involved with the chamber over the past year. I enjoy getting all your news and announcements about your upcoming webinars. And I know you've also personally taken an interest in our Women's Business Council. So it's so happy to have you on the show today.
Well, thanks for having me. This is a great opportunity.
I hope so. So without further ado, let's just get right into it. So I'm hoping you can tell us a little bit about the firm. What does Herzog Law Firm really specialize in?
Well, the majority of the firm works on estate planning, estate administration, and Medicaid planning. We've been around for 75 years. Amazing, huh?
Wow.
And the firm itself has kind of transitioned into different areas. But the majority of our clients right now, we do estate planning, and those kind of lead into more of the Medicaid planning and the estate administration. So there's four attorneys that basically specialize in that. And then we have a few other attorneys in the firm that do real estate and some litigation and some corporate work. But the main thrust of the firm is for estate planning and estate administration and Medicaid planning.
Excellent. And like I had mentioned before, you know, you guys are hosting these awesome webinars, really trying to get the word out about how important it is to plan for your estate and all other kinds of things. What, before COVID had hit, was that a part of your mission, was educating the public, whether it be in person or virtual, or was that something that kind of came about with the pandemic?
Actually, that's a great question. Before the pandemic, we were doing presentations at senior centers live, and we also used to do seminars like every other month. We would have them at a hotel. Usually we'd have four a month, one in the Albany area, one in the Saratoga area, one in the Schenectady-Troy area, and then we have an office up in Kingston, so we would have one in Kingston also. And then when the pandemic hit, it was like, okay, so how are we going to be able to get out and do those presentations? And so we converted them to webinars. And so each week we have Webinar Wednesday, where we do a webinar at 10 in the morning and 2 in the afternoon. And then we have our week of webinars, all these W words, right?
Yeah.
We have our week of webinars that we do one every day at 2:00. And then we recorded them, which was kind of fun. And they're on our website. So I kind of joke and say that if someone misses the webinar or can't log in for the webinar, they can always go on our website and they can download it, kind of like Netflix, right? Go get a drink, get some popcorn. You can sit and watch it. You can fast forward. You can do whatever you want to. And it's very educational. A lot of people call up and ask questions. And we say, well, you know, in preparation of the meeting with us, why don't you go on the website and just see if there's a webinar you want to watch and see if that can answer some of your questions. And what's happened is the people that come in to meet with us now are highly educated. They've watched 3 or 4 of the webinars, and sometimes they're like, well, on your webinar, I saw this. And you're like, wait, let me think about that. What did I talk about that day?
Sure. And it's so interesting because when I think of law firms, I don't always think about the education piece, right? So do you think that's kind of what sets Herzog Law Firm apart from others, that you guys are very much into education?
Well, we're really into education, and it's kind of interesting because our clients, I mean, we joke and say, you're our clients from cradle to grave. That sounds kind of tacky, but our clients, we have a client seminar every year where we invite our clients. Last year it was via the web, right, a webinar. But before that, we invite all of our clients back to tell them all the new stuff that's going on. And we don't charge for phone calls, which is a huge thing, which makes us unique from other law firms, because if you're our client and you call and you ask basic questions, we don't bill you for our time. I mean, if you call me every day and ask me the same question, I will probably bill you, but we don't charge our clients for phone calls, which is very rare.
I would say so, yeah, which I think is an excellent service that you're providing. You must have some great clients that stick with you and probably get you new clients by word of mouth, I would assume.
They do, and it's funny. I actually get calls from clients. I got one the other day. They're like, you're the only attorney that I know. Can you refer me to an employment attorney? And they ask for referrals to other attorneys. And I'm like, sure, no problem. Let me find somebody for you.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It's kind of more of a relationship.
Sure. Yeah. And that's really what it is all about, especially when you're dealing with things like estate planning, wills and trusts. You know, the trust literally has to be there, right, between you and your client. And that's where that relationship comes in.
Definitely. And I know a lot about my clients. Usually when they call, you know, I'll be like, well, how's this one? And how's that one? How are the kids? How are the pets? So it's a great relationship. It's not just a transactional, okay, you've done your will, you know, come see me in 20 years whenever something happens. You know, we definitely want to be in touch with our clients and want to know what's going on. And if something happens, we want them to call us.
Excellent. Fantastic. That's very good to know that you guys are accessible as well. So, Deborah, can you tell me a little bit about what it's like working with Herzog Law Firm? Like, can you take us through a typical client process?
Typically, we meet with the client, whether right now we can meet via Zoom, which I kind of think is interesting, and we can meet via phone. A lot of people want a conference call, or we can meet in person. All of our offices are open. Like I said before, we have four offices. We have one in Kingston, one in Saratoga, one in Clifton Park, and one in Albany. Our offices are open. We meet with a client, we go through what they need. If they already have documents, we'll look over their documents and tell them, you know, I would tweak this or I would do that. Or if they don't have any documents, kind of walk them through what documents they need and what each document does so they know what they need. And usually takes us about a month to draft up documents for clients and then they come in and sign.
Excellent. Sounds like a pretty easy process.
It is. And I think that it's interesting because Zoom has made it easy for us to execute documents, too, because we have a lot of people that are shut-ins, even before COVID, that couldn't get out to sign documents. So now we can actually watch them sign their documents via Zoom.
That's so cool. I mean, it's been mentioned several times on this show about how, you know, wonderful technology is these days. And, you know, if the pandemic had happened a decade ago, we would be in such a different state, right? I mean, things wouldn't be nearly as easy as they are right now, although they're still challenging. But, you know, it sounds like you've found a way to pivot the firm to still be able to work with your clients and almost as easy as if meeting them in person.
It is. It's great. We can meet with them via Zoom to get all the information, and then we meet with them via Zoom to sign. We FedEx the documents over to them. We watch them sign, and they FedEx them back.
So cool. And would you say that, you know, business maybe has declined a bit during the pandemic or stayed kind of steady? What does that look like for you guys?
Business has stayed kind of steady as far as estate planning goes. Obviously, it dipped a little bit last year whenever people were figuring out how we were going to do things. But we've been doing really well as far as estate planning goes. And there's been a lot of changes in the Medicaid laws, too. So we've seen kind of an influx of people that are looking for community Medicaid, which is Medicaid that pays for people to stay home as opposed to go to nursing homes. And with the changes in the law on that, we've seen a big influx of people trying to plan for their families.
Ah, that makes sense. And I find it so fascinating, too, that laws are changing, you know, even through a pandemic, and some people might have a hard time paying attention to those things. So thank goodness for, you know, professionals like you guys who are paying attention and are available to educate your clients and beyond.
Yes, we really try to stay on top of the law and stay on top of the changes to make sure that we advise people correctly so that they can take advantage of the situation.
Absolutely. And do you guys have webinars also on the new Medicaid laws?
We do. One of the ones that we look at is called Aging in Place. And it's actually a webinar on what is out there that you can apply for, meaning community Medicaid, and what kind of services you can get. And we also have a webinar that's called How Not to Pay for Services, which is kind of a cool one. We have a geriatric care manager. Her name is Kim Hance, which kind of sets us apart too, who actually is not a lawyer. She deals with our clients and deals with caregivers to make sure that our clients get the care that they need and set them up with community Medicaid and do the interviews and stuff. So that's definitely different. It's something different that most firms don't offer.
Excellent. And thank you so much for mentioning that. And that's actually going to take us into our first commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the importance of estate planning. So we'll be right back on I'm In with the ARCC on Talk WWSC 93.1 FM, AM 1450.
You're listening to I'm In with the Adirondack Regional Chamber of Commerce on Talk WWSC.
And we're back. Thanks again for tuning in to I'm In with the ARCC, sponsored by StoreTech, your technology, our passion. And on the first half of today's show, I'm being joined by Deborah Verney. She's an attorney who is joining us from Herzog Law Firm. We went into a little bit of detail about what Herzog Law Firm really does and how they're unique. But now we're going to talk about the importance of estate planning. And this is a subject that I know nearly nothing about, Deborah, so this will be really fascinating. But I also think this is a great way to kind of help get the message out. You guys are hosting those awesome webinars, but this is going to be a great opportunity too. So let's dive right in. Deborah, what exactly is estate planning and why is it so important?
So estate planning, it's funny because there's really no definition for it. I'm sure there's one that's on the internet that you could get, but estate planning is putting your documents together so that if something happened to you, you have a plan in place. And people are like, well, why do I really need that? And when do I need to start doing that? And I always tell them, if you're 18 years old, you should have an estate plan. And they're like, yeah, that's a little young. But the thing is, you need to plan for this. My son, when he went away to college, I made sure that he had a healthcare proxy and a power of attorney. And the reason I made sure he had those documents is because if something happened to him while he was away, I wanted to be able to get all of the healthcare information. And if something happened to him financially, right, that I could make calls, I could get information, I could talk to the school. And a lot of people don't think about that. Their kid goes off to school and they're like, here's your stuff, bye, have a great time. But whenever he had medical problems when he was away, I was able to be right there. And if he had any issues with the college, I had the power of attorney, I could call up. And it gave a good opportunity for me able to manage things from long distance. And yes, I may have been a helicopter parent, what can I say? But anyway, but a will, okay? So a will is very important, especially for young couples, right? So if something happens, you're young, you've just had kids, who's going to be the guardian for your kids, right? Who do you want to take care of your kids if, God forbid, something happened to both of you? That's stuff that you put into a will. Who do you want to get your stuff? That's stuff you put into a will. So even your basic estate plan should have a will, a healthcare proxy, and a power of attorney. So the healthcare proxy can make healthcare decisions for you if you can't make them for yourself. The power of attorney is going to be able to pay your bills and get information from your insurance, right, your health insurance. And then a will, if God forbid something happened to you, it gives direction as to where you want stuff to go. And a lot of people think, well, I'm married, my spouse is going to get everything. And then they're surprised to find out that if you don't have a will in the state of New York, that half's going to go to your spouse and half's going to go to your kids. And generally, kids aren't real great with money, especially if they're really young.
Sure, sure. Now, this is so fascinating because in my mind, I almost thought estate planning and a will were almost not comparable, but like two different things. But estate planning really encompasses all of these pieces. Like you had mentioned, a will, a healthcare proxy. That's what estate planning is. It's kind of like the whole package, correct?
It is. And it includes more than that because whenever we meet with clients, we kind of go through everything and we say to them, is everything joint or does it have a beneficiary or is it in a trust? And we try to make sure that everything's updated, which really isn't part of our job. It's part of their job, right? They need to make sure that they have updated beneficiary designations on their life insurance, on their retirement accounts. People that were, you know, single and 18 whenever they started their first job and named their parents as their beneficiaries, and now they're 40 or 50 and they never updated their beneficiaries, and now mom or dad may not be in good health or they may not even be around. I've also had people come in that I've met with, and I start looking at beneficiary designations, and I'll say, who's Sally? And then come to find out that's the ex-wife, and the new wife's not real happy that the ex-wife is still the beneficiary on the life insurance.
So sure, sure.
These are things that we go through. It's all encompassing. It's your documents, but it's also your finances. It's your beneficiary designations. It's looking at the health of your children, right? Do we need to put a special needs trust in place because you have someone that has autism or Down syndrome? And, you know, who's going to take care of them while you're gone? So those are all things that we look at, making sure that someone's not disabled and that they'll lose their benefits if they inherit a bunch of money. So we really do ask a lot of questions. It's kind of like going to the doctors, right? We have them fill out a client questionnaire that asks all these questions. They're like, why do you need this information? It's like, well, we can't really diagnose you and do a correct estate plan unless we know what we're dealing with.
Absolutely. And so it sounds like you can update your estate plan, you know, as frequently as you need to, you know, as your life changes, like you had mentioned, if your parents are your beneficiaries and they pass away, you obviously have to update that. And from what I hear, it sounds like once you turn 18, that's a perfect time to get that rolling. And I find that so fascinating because I think this might be one of the things that you guys might be working on is education for our young people, right? When I was in high school and college, the topics never came up. It wasn't something that, you know, was offered to us. It wasn't something that was even part of conversation. So would you say that it is also kind of part of your mission to get out there and educate young people on these things to get them on the right path?
It is. It definitely is. And it's funny because we're educating the parents more than the kids. I got a call yesterday and the gentleman said, I just watched your webinar. And I went, okay. And he goes, I need to bring my daughter in. I said, okay. So he's like, I'm bringing my daughter in. We're going to do her documents. And I went, okay, that sounds good. So I've had a lot of my clients that have younger children, well, younger, you know, 30s, 20s, sure, that have called and said, look, I want to do documents for my kids. They're not interested in it. I've told them they're doing the documents. Here's the information. Let's set up a time to sign because they want to make sure that their kids are covered because these things happen. And we also try to educate the younger people to talk to their parents because parents are generally not transparent as to where things are or what they've done. And unfortunately, on the back end, we have a lot of issues if someone passes away and the children, whether they're adult or not, have no idea where mom and dad's assets are or where their documents are. And it becomes a big mess.
I can totally see that happening. I mean, if you were to ask me where those documents were in my parents' home, I couldn't tell you. So I totally get that. And, you know, especially when you're dealing with a death, you're already in a sensitive spot where you're grieving. The last thing you want to do is be searching for these documents. So I think there's really a need out there to kind of get what you're saying, your message out there to young people, just to at least let them know, like, hey, this is something you should be thinking about. You know, and we can get you started with that. And would you agree there's value in maybe this becoming a course in college or high school or something like that? I mean, I think it could be.
Oh, it could definitely be a course in high school or a college. And it's also just a great 1 hour, 2 hour course. I used to do presentations for continuing ed at the high school in Saratoga before coronavirus, obviously.
Sure.
But it was interesting, the different mix of people that I would get there, because a lot of people had never done documents. And I've got people that come in that are in their 60s and 70s that have never done documents. And then I have the young people that are calling me up going, hey, I need to get this done because I want everything in place. So it's very diverse as to who's out there and what they're doing. But education is totally key.
Absolutely. And I'm sure you've heard every excuse in the book about why someone hasn't, you know, gotten into estate planning. What are some of the good ones? Can you share?
Well, you know, if I do my estate planning documents, I'm going to die, which my answer to that is, yes, you're going to die whether you do them or not. So you may as well do them.
Wow.
You know, there's the other ones are like, I don't know who to leave my money to. I don't have anyone to leave my money to. I don't have anyone that'll be my executor. And we start going through the families and they're like, oh yeah, that person would do it.
Sure. I think personally of myself, I think, well, I don't have, you know, any assets to leave to somebody, but that's not true, right? We all have something.
Well, you all have something. I mean, even if you're a college student, you probably got a car, right?
Sure,
you
sure.
probably got maybe some savings and stuff like that. So you really need to think about it. I had one client who his parents made him do his estate planning, and he had a lawn mowing business, and he had a motorcycle accident and passed away. And because he had his documents in place, everything went fine. Everything went to his brothers and sisters, which was kind of nice, but he didn't plan on anything happening to him, but yet he had documents. So the parents were able to go in and make his medical decisions for him and take care of his bills while he was still alive because they were his power of attorney. And then when he passed, they took care of his will.
Wow. That's a powerful story and a constant reminder to us that nothing is guaranteed, right? Anything could happen to any of us at any time. So it's really important to make sure you have that plan in place.
Definitely.
And if that's anything, if anybody takes anything away from this show, that should be it. It is because it doesn't sound like it's a long, drawn-out process, right, Deborah? You know, as long as you get everything in order, a couple signatures, and you're good to go, right?
Yeah, it's pretty much that easy. We try to make it as painless as possible. People that come in and meet with me, they're like, that's it? I'm like, that's it. We're done. You're all good. And they're like, wow, that was painless. And I'm like, we try to make it as painless as possible.
Exactly. Well, that's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing all this information on estate planning. It's actually got my gears turning, so perhaps I should make a phone call to get that process going because it's never too late either, right?
No, it's never too late.
Excellent. Well, Deborah, I want to thank you for being on the show. But before I let you go, please tell us, how can we learn more about Herzog Law Firm? How can we get in touch with you guys?
Well, probably if you want to go to one of our webinars, you can go to our website, which is www.herzoglaw.com. And you can click on the webinar so you can go there. Also, we have email addresses there so you can contact us directly. Or if you wanted to schedule an appointment, whether it's via Zoom or in person or via phone, you can call us at the phone number is 518-465-7581. Again, that's 518-465-7581. And we have a scheduler that schedules all of our appointments. Her name is Stacy, and she's at extension 126.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Deborah, for your time again today. I would encourage everybody to give you a call or at least visit the website and check out some webinars because, again, that might spark some interest in estate planning. And that's all the time that we have for the first half of the show today. We'll be right back after the break on I'm In with the ARCC on Talk WWSC 93.1 FM, AM 1450.
Now more of I'm In with the Adirondack Regional Chamber of Commerce on Talk WWSC.
And welcome to the second half of the show. My guest right now is Tyler Whitney. He's the Senior Director of Administration and Operations for the Southern Adirondack Independent Living, also known as SAIL. Welcome to the show, Tyler. How are you today?
I'm good, Amanda. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well, and I really appreciate you being on the show. I know you were on the show in the past, but obviously things have changed a lot in our community.
Yes, quite a bit.
Yeah. So, and from what I understand, things have been changing at SAIL as well. So I'm so excited to get some updates from you today. But before we get into that, if you don't mind, just tell us a little bit about SAIL. How do you support our communities, and what is your mission?
Yeah, sure. So SAIL, Southern Adirondack Independent Living, our mission is that we help people live more independently. And that is a super broad mission, but it really pertains to what we do. We help people on their journey towards independence. And there's a really common misnomer that we are actually a place where people come live. And it's quite the opposite. We want to help people live in the community for as long as they possibly can. And we help people establish what independent living goals are. A lot of people don't recognize, you know, what some of their dreams and aspirations are to live independently. So we help them come up with those, and then we support them through a whole multitude of different services that we offer here in this region and up north to do so. So we do a lot of really awesome comprehensive work with people who have disabilities.
That's great to hear. And what is your service area? Is it just like kind of like the Adirondack region? Is it certain counties? Who do you serve?
Well, it varies by programs. We actually have 11 different grant programs here at SAIL. In total, we serve 15 different counties, and each grant kind of serves a different spot. The majority of our grants really cover the Fulton, Montgomery, Saratoga, Warren, Washington, Hamilton, Clinton, Essex region. And some of our grants go a little bit south, down into Albany County, Rensselaer, Columbia Green. So we have a large footprint here in the Adirondacks.
Wow, that's really impressive. I wasn't really prepared for that answer, so wow.
Yeah, and we're all over the place. We do a lot.
No, that's fantastic. And of course, you are a nonprofit organization, which is important to note. And we'll get a little bit into how we can support you guys near the end of the show. But as a nonprofit organization, how did you guys continue to operate and support community members during the pandemic? I can imagine you probably saw some challenges, but how did you guys deal?
About a year ago, we were making the decision of, you know, how do we continue to support our community and individuals living with disabilities to live as independently as possible through a pandemic? You know, we're really trying to rack our brains while keeping our consumers and our staff and community safe. So our grantors and our funders at the state level and through some of our federal grants were incredible and really helped us to mold a plan to help everyone remotely. So we sent everyone here at SAIL home for a short period of time. But during that time, we were able to kind of redevelop some of our program delivery responses and help people by phone, by Zoom, really adopting and adapting to this new world that we were living in. And we, you know, I'm so proud of our staff here at SAIL and our community for adapting with us to this program delivery, because we were able to continue all of our services without even a hiccup. And during that time, you know, we were seeing some big changes. You know, unemployment was spiking. People with disabilities were needing assistance to apply for unemployment. Surgeries were being canceled. So our trade program, which we're going to talk about here in a few minutes, was booming. And we were trying to figure out, how do we get loans out to people during a pandemic and get them returned? And our staff and our board of directors and our management team here really put our brains together and tried to create this great system for people and continue to provide these great services in this region. So I'm super proud of them. We were able to do everything remotely, and quite honestly, we still are. Our buildings are open, you know, here and there by case appointment, but a lot of our services we're still able to provide remotely and do things over the phone and adopting this, like I said, this new video conferencing way of life.
That's really fantastic to hear. And, you know, being a part of the chamber and just kind of listening to all of our businesses and nonprofit organizations as they have transitioned through this pandemic, what I've noticed is especially our nonprofits were incredibly resilient. You know, and I think it might have something to do with the fact that nonprofits are always kind of used to working with minimal resources, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So, you know, not that a pandemic is ideal, you know, we didn't want to have to go through that. But I feel like nonprofits particularly were just like, let's put our boots on and get this done, you know?
Yeah. And when times get tough, it's a lot of times the nonprofit and human service organizations that need to step up and be there for people who need the help most. And we wanted to make sure that we could do that in the best way possible for our consumers and also our staff. And I really think we you know, met COVID where we needed to and just kind of worked through the problems and really were able to help a huge amount of people in our community.
Absolutely. And there's something to be said, too, about the needs of our community, right? I think this was a time where a lot of us were taking more time on our computers, right? We were in front of our screens, yep, remotely working, and a lot of us were educating ourselves, too, on what was going on in our region. I've seen kind of a boom in interest in nonprofits and human service organizations. People are opening up their wallets and donating money. People are inquiring about volunteer opportunities. Did you see an increase in this over the past year, or what did that look like?
Well, I would say, you know, you touched on two good points. Yes, we saw an increase in the amount of people that wanted to help our agency and help SAIL out and offering to do whatever someone, you know, needed. They were donating equipment and donating their time and wanting to, you know, how can we help you guys during this time? But also, Amanda, we saw a pretty large increase in the amount of people in need. You know, someone who, let's say, we're dealing with either the diagnosis of COVID or a family member dealing with the diagnosis of COVID or working from home, all of those things for someone with a disability can be quite impactful. So we were trying to figure out and working with our community, someone who has never had to deal with something like this is now coming to SAIL and saying, hey, how do I do this? Or what kind of things can I get from my house to be adaptable? I've been in an office for this many years. But now I'm going home and I'm, you know, we're trying to figure this new system out. Same thing with kids. And that was a huge, and I can talk about this a little bit later, but we did some really amazing things with our local school districts to help students with disabilities learn in a virtual environment. So yes, both ways. We saw a huge amount of people that wanted to come out and support us and help us with our mission of helping people live more independently here at SAIL. But we also saw a huge number of people who needed our services. We were happy to be here for them.
And that totally makes sense. And again, it's these things that a lot of us average people don't think about, right? I've heard enough of my friends who are parents, you know, talk about the challenges of remote learning with their children, but never thought about, you know, children with disability. How are they dealing? Yeah. How different is that? Absolutely. How much more challenging is that? You know, so thank you for mentioning that, because it's something that we should all be aware of and open our eyes and ears to. And but also on the bright side, to know that there's an organization like SAIL that's out there doing the best they can to help those people.
Yeah, it brought a light to the world of disabilities. And started a really much needed conversation about what that word disability means. And someone who identifies as having a disability, but also the person who doesn't identify as having a disability, who's running into these challenges at this point and dealing with this temporary disability they've never had to deal with. So it really brought up a good conversation for us here at SAIL and with our community and funders to be able to have that. So, you know, all in all, we're looking at positives.
I love that. I love the silver lining aspect of things. And I've definitely heard enough happy, fun stories that have come out of this pandemic. And again, we all went through challenges, but a lot of good came from this. So I'm so happy to hear that SAIL has come out on top and is continuing to help community members and in the best way they can, and in new and different ways too. So kudos to you guys.
Absolutely. Yes, thank you so much.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for sharing a little bit about SAIL and also going into how you guys have been getting through the pandemic. And on that note, we're going to take our quick break right now. And when we come back, we're going to learn about some of the new programs you guys got going on. So we'll be we'll be right back on I'm In with the ARCC on Talk WWSC 93.1 FM AM 1450.
This is I'm In with the Adirondack Regional Chamber of Commerce on Talk WWSC.
And we're back. Thanks again for listening to I'm In with the ARCC, sponsored by Stored Tech, your technology, our passion. And I am here with Tyler Whitney. He's the Senior Director of Administration and Operations for Southern Adirondack Independent Living, also known as SAIL. So, Tyler, from what I understand, you guys have got some new programs and services that you have adopted since the pandemic began. Sure. Can you tell us a little bit about those?
I can. So, in addition to, you know, the waiver services that we provide here at SAIL and the advocacy and health insurance programs that we serve for our region, we were also, when the pandemic started, we were awarded through the federal government and through a part of the CARES Act, funding to support people with disabilities during the pandemic with, you know, whatever they needed. And we were left to determine what those needs for our community were and continue to be. And so when back in March, you know, we were having the conversations, we found out we were awarded this as an independent living center. We put our brains together, started a few committees, and started talking about what the needs were. So back then, at the time, the needs were really, I'm sure you can remember, about a year ago when we couldn't find household cleaning supplies and toilet paper and paper towels. Shelves were, you know, bare. Sale put together a huge non-food essentials giveaway. And we ended up handing out about over 500 bags valued at, you know, $70 a piece, filled with cleaning supplies to people with disabilities.
Wow.
We did an incredible drive-through event right here at our center on Glenwood Avenue in Queensbury. And the amount of feedback that we received from families during that, it was, you know, it was emotional. It was rewarding. And most of all, I think it was really helpful to our communities, for people who, you know, were at home, nervous to go out. We're talking about a vulnerable population. The people that we serve, you know, we talk about people with disabilities and autoimmune and immunocompromised people not being able to go out during this pandemic. So they were, you know, at home, relying on family and friends to get them things. We were able to do a really awesome event and hand out over, you know, like I said, over 500 different bags.
That's fantastic.
It was super cool. And we continued to take a look as time evolved. We did some things here at our center to be able to make our services, more COVID friendly, where we, you know, are taking precautions and buying like the plexiglass and hand sanitizer stations and really making SAIL the most safe environment you can be in. Because sometimes we needed to see people in person, and it was getting difficult for people to do that virtually. So we were able to open our doors for a bit and really have people come into our center. So that was nice. And we still have COVID dollars. So we, back in November, we did a really amazing program where we purchased, in partnership with Driscoll Foods out of Amsterdam, we purchased Thanksgiving dinners. And we did a drive-through event for those, and we handed out almost 300 Thanksgiving dinners to people with disabilities.
Did you say 900?
300.
300. Okay, thank you. still impressive.
Yeah, yes. 900, you know, would have been a little crazy, but 300 was amazing. And, you know, the thought process in our head, Amanda, was these people with disabilities, we want to keep you out of the grocery store during what is arguably the busiest week of the year. And we saw COVID numbers starting to increase a little bit, and we were able to do this incredible program and hand out 300. There was 300 bags worth of groceries, and our Thanksgiving dinners were beautiful. They were valued at $100 a piece, and it was just incredible. It was such a rewarding event that we were able to do, and you know, sporadically throughout this last year, in addition to those big events that I mentioned, we've been able to help a lot of people who come in with needs that, you know, are unimaginable, in dealing with quarantines and losing loved ones due to this pandemic, losing income, losing their jobs, all of those things. So it was, you know, really incredible.
Wow. Tyler, it's so inspiring, honestly, to hear you talk about all these ways that you're helping the community. And it takes so much work. I think a lot of people don't realize how much work it takes, how much collaboration is involved, how much time.
Yeah.
But like you said, it's emotional, but it's uplifting. And at the end of the day, when you realize how many people, how many families you've impacted, it makes it all worthwhile, right?
It 100% does. You walk out of here every day thinking, you know, that you truly made a difference, and that smile on that person's face that you see from the car window with a wave, knowing that they're going to go home and have a nice Thanksgiving dinner with their family, or that they can go home and as something as simple as Cloroxing their door handles. It really sparks something in you that just makes you feel needed, and that we're making a difference in this community for people.
Absolutely. Totally agree. Was there anything else worth speaking on that you guys have accomplished over the last year?
Yeah, I mean, I actually just did one of these yesterday, and this was something that I was really proud of our staff here at SAIL for adopting and coming up with and doing the work for. But we were able to purchase with CARES Act dollars hotspots. And earlier I mentioned, you know, working with our local school districts and some of the kids with disabilities that, you know, oftentimes fell under the radar when everyone went home and we're focusing on virtual school and virtual work. I don't think that a lot of people were thinking about the students or the employees who didn't have internet reception at their house and didn't have good service and who relied on being in school or at work to do that. So what we did was we purchased and paid for hotspots through AT&T, and we've been loaning out hotspots to local students, sometimes on a longer basis, but sometimes just for, let's say, a quarantine period, or if the school was closing for a week due to some cases. I had school administrators calling us and saying, hey, do you have any hotspots left? I know I have a student that lives, you know, in a spot where there's no reception. And we've been able to provide those to our community. And that has been one of my, you know, favorite activities that we've done. And we gave a lot of school districts masks and really interesting, safe PPE, like clear masks and clear face shields for students with disabilities that need to lip read. And just providing different adaptive equipment through our TRADE program. TRADE stands for Technology Related Assistance for Individuals with Disabilities. You know, different adaptive equipment to help someone. Again, you know, this would be someone's definition of living independently, living at home through a pandemic, and we're providing services and assistance to you to be able to do that with a little ease.
That's incredible. Wow. I mean, I'm just so floored by half of the stuff you've said today. It's really incredible.
Thank you.
Yeah. And it seems like you've kind of identified some unique challenges through the pandemic, but also found solutions for them. And thank goodness for the funding, the grants, and obviously donations as well, I'm sure.
Yeah, and our staff, and I can't say it enough, our staff, our management team, and our board of directors here at SAIL have stepped up in a way that is truly unimaginable and done wonderful things to assist us and above and beyond their normal job duties to help our community and just be there when the time was needed. I'm so proud and happy that we can provide this to the community.
Absolutely, totally in agreement with that. Now, you know, you guys are out there, you're on social media, you have a website, all that great stuff. But we certainly could have someone listening, you know, that could be a family member or a friend of someone that might be in need of your services. What is the best way to go about getting a hold of you guys to get that process kind of started?
Well, there's a lot of different ways that you can do so. You mentioned a couple of them. We do have a website, and our website is very nice. We work with Advocate, and she does a phenomenal job of managing our website. And it's really easy. You can go on our website and shoot us a message from there. You can use our social media platforms. We do have a nice, well-run Facebook that kind of updates. We update daily with different services and different resources in the community. We have three office locations, Amanda. We have our main office here, which is in Queensbury, 71 Glenwood Avenue. We also have a location in Boston Spa on Geyser Road, where we're providing services out of. And we have an office in the Plattsburgh area where we provide health insurance programs. So any of those you can come to. And of course, you can give us a call here at our office, 518-792-3537. We are here Monday through Friday, 8 to 4. And you can, like I said, you can also shoot us an email through our website, and it's a nice, easy way to get a hold of us as well.
I love it. You guys are 100% accessible, so that's good to hear.
Yes.
Now,
yeah, absolutely.
On the other end of it, you guys do so much for the community, but how can we help you? Obviously, you're accepting donations of money and other things, but yeah, how can we help you as community members?
We do. So, you know, like you mentioned, of course, donations to be able to assist our programs. Like I said, we are grant funded. So a lot of our funders, they give us money to provide these services, and some of the funds aren't able to go to things like building repairs and general office type repairs, that we have to rely on community donations to be able to do that. So we do welcome, you know, financial donations, and you can do that through our website as well. We do have a PayPal link in there. But above that, you know, donations of equipment for our trade program. We loan out medical equipment like wheelchairs and walkers and such. And if your family is using one that you no longer have a use for, you know, think of sale. We'll make sure that it gets in the hands of someone who truly needs it for, you know, a short-term or long-term loan. And we also welcome volunteers here. There's a lot of different things that we can do together as a team. Like I said, you know, packing those Thanksgiving dinners or helping out with the drive-through events. You know, last year when we were handing out 500 bags, all of those things, we love to have our community here helping us side by side with them and making a difference in our community. So we love that.
Excellent. Tyler, thank you so much. I feel like we packed a lot in this short interview, and I want to thank you again. And of course,
thank you.
Yeah, of course. And I encourage everyone to visit their website. It's salehelps.org, correct?
Salehelps.org. Yeah. Or give us a call. It's 518-792-3537.
Excellent. Thanks again, Tyler. And that's all the time we have for today on I'm In with the ARCC. You'll hear from us next week.